It's a great time to be alive, isn't it? And what a time we have to be able to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what all he means to each of us. Nathan, we'll have to keep you around for candle lighting. You do a good job. So we know who to call for that. You know, there's a lot of things that I like to share. Kind of feel like Paul, you know, when it was getting close to his time, and even Jesus with his disciples, how when he knew he was about to leave and things were going to change for him, there was a lot of things that he wanted to say, that both of them want to say to their congregation, to their people that they loved and had put so much into. And it's kind of like he wants to give warnings and exhortations, you know, look out for this and be sure to do that and all of these things. They wanted to share as a warning and as a blessing to them as well. And so I kind of feel in that place. I know we're, you know, you're looking at two good men, and I know that they will serve you greatly, and the way the Lord wants that to be. And so, but I still like to share, you know, some of the things that are really important. Because you guys mean a lot to me. You really do. And, you know, when you put a lot of effort into someone, you really care about how they develop in it, right? And so that's how I'm feeling. It's like watching your own kids kind of grow up and take hold of the things that were taught them and the things that they had seen. And so my wife and I feel very proud of you guys. You've put up with a lot. I want to tell you this. You know, last week, y'all know that sometimes people have a hard time with maybe what I say. But it's okay because at least I get their attention. Amen. And so they at least hear me. And then they got to kind of decipher of whether they like it or they don't like it, or whether they like me or don't like me. But that's just the way it is. But Sherry was here last week, and I thought, maybe I should get the tape and listen to it. I talked a little bit about drinking, and I was sharing mainly with you my convictions, you know, and I wasn't trying to tell anybody here what to do with that. I was just sharing my convictions and the reason I had my convictions. And that's where I stand. And see, we all have convictions, or at least I hope we do. And so anyway, I shared a little bit about that. And on the way home, I said, well, did you get anything out of that? You know, when you talk sometimes to your kids, they kind of think differently maybe than what you think. So I asked her, and she said, oh, yeah, it was all right. And she says, but. Never liked them buts. She said, but you came down kind of hard on drinking, didn't you? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But see, I think what her, and I told her, I said, well, maybe you're convicted. And she doesn't drink that much. Her and her husband and that, but they have friends that drink, and they drink casually, very casually with them at times or most of the time. And so I have never said anything against them or, you know, trying to. So I don't want to force my convictions on anybody else. They're my convictions. And you get your own. you know, but this is, I think, a good one to have. And so I told her, I kind of looked at her, I said, Sherry, do you think that maybe because it felt kind of strong to you, is maybe that the church that you're going to with those lukewarm, syrupy type messages that you're not used to, maybe a little more, and it makes it sound strong to you? And she kind of, well, maybe. And she goes to a big church, and it's growing by leaps and bounds, but I've been to it a couple of times, and it's, you know, very lukewarm, casual, and most of the time when I leave, and I think the rest of the people, they don't remember what they heard. But at least if I trouble you a little bit, you think, oh, that was a hard set. You're not going to forget it too fast, are you? So that's kind of why I guess God speaks through me the way that he does. And there's something else that I was looking at. See, I don't know which message I think what the Lord might want me to preach on. See, I worked hard all week on one. The Lord changed it this morning again. And then I sat down looking over it just before we left to come here, and the Lord gave me another message. And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, I didn't get a chance to make Charlene's coffee. I usually make her toast so she can have that, because she don't get up till 7 to shower. So she's kind of getting cleaned up and dressed and all that, so that when she comes into the kitchen area, well, she's got her coffee and she's got, you know, her toast, and she can eat it faster. But I was busy, and so I wasn't able to do all of that. But anyway, this is, I want to share a little bit. It may not be the message, I don't know, but it's what the Lord was sharing with me. And I had looked at some scriptures earlier, and I kind of pondered them a little bit, but I didn't sense the feeling of really getting into them to share with you. But then this morning, God got a hold of me. And he says, I want you to think about this thing. And what it is if you look at me, with me, I'd say, let's see, what do we want to do first? I want to do 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did y'all know that there's two types of spiritual blindness? There's one that I preach to, one type of spiritual blindness that I really preach to, and the other one, I don't. Because the one, there's a good chance of people hearing and receiving and changing. But the other one, there's very little, if any, chance, at least at that point, for them to change. It's pretty serious. You know, we've been talking about the seriousness of God's word. And I want to tell you, God's serious about his word. You know, if I have something very special and I want to share it with somebody, and they dismiss it as if it's not important to them, it's junk, and maybe even give you the idea of, why do you like it? You know, it kind of hurts. That's why it's important to listen to people when they talk to you. And that's why I try to do. I always try to listen. I want to hear people's heart. I want to know what they're thinking, what they're going through. It's important. And if people are wanting to share things with me, I know that it's on their heart at the moment and they're thinking about it. And maybe God is doing that to them and putting that. Y'all know when you feel the urge to pray about something? Did you know that God put that in your heart? Before we even prayed, God's already answering it, but he wants you to pray about it. So he's already dealt with your heart. And we think we come up with all of this. Oh, I got to pray about it. Well, it really wasn't your idea, hon. You just simply heard the unction of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to pray about this. You need to pray. So that's important. But anyway, let's look at this verse and see if you can understand maybe what the Lord is trying to tell us here in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Folks, there's a lot of people that are being blinded by the enemy and by the things of the world. And they don't realize how good it really is to have the Lord and to know the Lord. You know, we go through Christmas, and I've even mentioned before, how many people do you think really understand and realize what Christmas really is other than Santa Claus? And Easter's a bunny who lays eggs. But see, we don't realize sometimes the importance of something that's going on. And so Satan blinds us so that the light of the gospel doesn't shine forth. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is the people I preach to. These are the people I want to preach to. That the Lord and the Holy Spirit can bring understanding and allow a little light to shine in. You know, that's how it worked in my life. That little light shined in, and because a guy asked me, he says, Jim, if you died tonight, where would you go? See, most of the time, we never think about that. Everything's going good, and, you know, we just don't think about and thinking it's so far in the future. Why think of it? You know, well, it could be tonight. So the Lord had this guy ask me that. And of course, he'd embarrass me, and I still didn't think much about it. I was now thinking about him being so rude to talk to me like that, to ask that question in public. And so I was embarrassed. I was angry. But then as I left, the Holy Spirit was shining some light. I said, well, Jim, what about that? What about that? You thinking about where you're going to go at the end? You going to heaven or hell? And so I was pondering. See, when you hear the word of God, even though you're not a believer yet, if you listen, that's why I share sometimes and maybe say the words that I say. It may aggravate you, may even make you angry. You may not even come back. I've had people at prison get up and walk out. But see, I'm not here or there to please you. I'm here to do a job, and that is to witness to you. To try to shed some light and allow the Holy Spirit to work on you so that you will open the heart and look at what the Word says. And when I did that, the Lord spoke to me. And he says, Jim, if you die tonight, you're going straight to hell. And it scared me. But you know, really, a lot of people today, they're not scared of that anymore. Because they won't allow themselves to really look at it or think about it. Folks, I want to tell you that probably, I would venture to say 60 to 70% of church people today are lost. They know the talk. They can go to all the Christian dinners and speak the lingo. But they're just as lost could be. See, they're living in a world where they think they know, because the enemy's blinded them. It's like, oh, you can go to church, but hey, don't come to know Jesus. Just come to the place where you feel comfortable with Jesus. And so we got a lot of people that are very comfortable, and the light hasn't really shone. They're making a great effort, but see, they're not really putting their dependency into what the Lord, who he is and what he's done and can do in their lives. And that's where I was. And that's why I was lost. But then after I heard, and it's kind of like the curtains open a little bit and the light shined through. And then I started searching and hunting. Folks, that's been over 50 years ago. And I'm still young. But it's been over 50 years ago. And I still, I believe, have most of the same zeal that I had then when I was saved. And I thank God for that. And I owe it all to God. So anyway, here's one. Now I want to look at the other one that I don't really preach to at all. And it's bad that... You know, you kind of hear me. It's like, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at it. That is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Do y'all ever wonder about the purpose of parables? There was a purpose why Jesus always taught in parables. And so in chapter 13, let's start with verse 10, and it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.'" You see, folks, a lot of people hear the gospel, but to them it's like a mystery. It's something that they're just not quite understanding and getting. And that's why it takes revelated knowledge to really get what the Word of God is saying. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings as we study the Word, as we allow the light to shine and to change us. We get that revelated knowledge. You know, I would read over Scripture that I had read dozens of times before. And there would be times I would read it again, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What is that saying? I never seen that before. And that's revelated knowledge that the Holy Spirit will share and allow you to grasp out of his word. And I love revelated knowledge. He said, "But because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it's not been given." Wow. Keep reading. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." You know, when a sower goes out and he sows a seed, You ever notice it talks about how he might throw it out and the birds will come and take it away? And that's the enemy taking it out of a person's mind. So when the preaching goes on, you hear us, oh, wow, yeah. Maybe I ought to make a move, get prayer, or maybe I ought to get saved. And then what happens? Oh, I'll do it next week. The enemy wants us to procrastinate. Why? So he'll take that seed away. You come next week and you're not even thinking about it anymore. That was last week. And so there we are. See, that's why when the Holy Spirit shares something with you, you need to learn to do it right away. And not wait, not put it off. Because then you're really saying that it's really not that important. It's not really that important. And that's crucial. Verse 13 says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says this: hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Now, folks, there's a lot said here, but the problem is that people get a dull heart. They're no longer really interested. It's like, I've done that. It's okay. And so they go to church or whatever they do. It's like it really doesn't have a meaning to them anymore, because our hearts are dull. It's like, I really don't want to hear that. You know, one Sunday we wasn't here, not long ago. Anyway, we went to another church. And the pastor came up to me and he was talking. And he was going to preach here in just a few minutes. And he came up and talked to me and he said, yeah, we got a lot of people out deer hunting. And he said, you know, I quit going, he'd go to Ohio every year and get big trophy bucks. That's what he was after, is the trophies. And so he was talking about, I said, oh, you don't go to Ohio anymore and deer hunt? No, he said, I've kind of let that go. He said, I've got 8 or 10 trophy bucks hanging on my wall in my office. And, you know, and he's talking about the deer, and up here they're scrawny and, you know, just not really good enough for a pro like me to take. You know, basically, he didn't say that, but basically. But see, what does that tell you? Where's his heart, really? Is his heart really on people that are sitting in church that have been blinded by the devil and that are coming because they're kind of getting a little interested in it, or a friend invited them, or something happened? There's a young man that had cancer real bad, and he didn't have insurance. He had a young family, had 2 children, I think. Anyway, I try to talk to him about the Lord, but he doesn't want to talk about the Lord, this young kid. But now he has cancer, so now he's scared. and wondering if he's going to live at all. And one of the guys from the church had a fundraiser for him at Harbor Springs to make money to help pay his medical expenses, which was a great deal. Well, now this kid, what is his name? What is it? Alex. Yeah, Alex. That's my grandson's friend. Now he's going to Harbor Light, not because he's saved, not because he understands everything, or even is totally interested yet, but he's going because a friend went out of his way to have this fundraiser for him, and so now he's feeling obligated to go, because that's a church that this guy goes to, and he invited him. So now he's obligated, and he goes. But folks, if you don't have sometimes a preacher who's on fire for the Lord and who knows that it's so important of what he shares and how he shares it, so it will minister to this guy that doesn't really want to be there anyway, but there because of obligation. You see, God will use all kinds of things to get you to him, even if it has to be obligation, because he loves us so much. And he knows that things can change in your life, and it doesn't have to keep going like it is, usually downhill. And so he wants to gather us, and he wants to bless people, and he wants revelated knowledge to come. But see, that's why the Lord moved. But now, the problem is, and I'm talking about those that the Lord has blinded. Do y'all realize that? I didn't realize really a lot of that before, that the Lord is the one that blinds. Isn't that what we read? The Lord blinds them. I have had a brother-in-law. I first got saved, and so my nephews came to the farm, and I got to show them around and we did different things, but my heart was to share about Jesus to them. They were 12 and 13 or 12 and 14 or something. They were somewhere in that age, I think. But so anyway, I was sharing with them about Jesus, and I said, man, I was even baptized. And I took them to the church and showed them the baptistry and everything, and I just shared my heart with them. And they were excited about it. They liked it. They're like, wow. Well, they went home and told Dad. Well, see, Dad is the one that God blinded his heart. And I'll tell you why. You see, his name is Terry, and Terry was angry at God, because when his dad died, the priest wouldn't bury him because they didn't tithe there. And he didn't go there a lot. So the priest refused. Well, that made Terry and his family angry. Terry hung on to that. And so now he's angry even at God. And he wouldn't let that anger and that hurt go. So when he heard his kids talking about how I was telling them about Jesus, he told them that was foolishness. Don't you ever do that. And I don't know what all he said to them, but anyway, it turned them against that totally. So we were there for dinner to visit. And while we were there, he said to me, don't you ever talk to my kids again about God. He said, I don't want to hear it. My kids aren't going to hear it. You're not going to share it in my home. We will have no part of it. And so I didn't say anything. I felt led to continue being a friend to him, especially in the latter times when he was sick, because he liked to shoot, and I'd go shoot with him. And what I was doing is trying to make opportunity that maybe he would change his mind. And he would ask me. But see, God blinded his heart. See, his heart was dull. In fact, it was full of poison. So full of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And God turned him over to a debased mind. Well, anyway, in his family, before he died, his nephew, Danny's son. His grandson, his grandson wanted to be a drug dealer. I've told you these stories before, but some are here that probably have not heard that. But he wanted to be a drug dealer. Here he is, 17, 18 years old, and he wants to be a drug dealer. He doesn't need the money. His mother has all kinds of money, and he can have anything he wants. But he wants to be a drug dealer. So anyway, he's over at his friend's house, and the friend's brother was there. Anyway, they were cleaning guns. And his friend's brother shot him and killed him. I don't know if it was on purpose or if it was just an accident. I don't know for sure. Of course, they said it was an accident. So anyway, I think this is all from his understanding or his determination to hate God. See what you do. You know, God told Cain, when he hated his brother, he said this. He says, sin's lying at the door. And he says, its desire is for you. And see, we don't realize that. You see, sin lies at the door. When we open that door, we allow a lot of things to happen. Oh, well, this little sin, that doesn't really matter. See, I can do it now, and I'll repent later, and it'd be good. Besides that, God's probably already forgiven me, and he doesn't hold that against me at all. See, we can do sin and not have an issue with it. I don't know if I should share this or not, but I will. Y'all know I'm not perfect. We had our Christmas party last week. And so we had to, it was the last week, week before. But anyway, we had our little Christmas dinner and the kids were all there. And so we were at the end of dinner and after some games, and then we were going to give out gifts. Well, we were all sitting down, and Jaden, my granddaughter, just turned 18, I guess. Well, a few months ago, maybe. Who is kind of my wayward granddaughter, who we've been praying for. But anyway, her and her boyfriend were there. And she picked out gifts, and she gave one to me, and one to Charlene, one to Sherry, and just a three, okay. Handed them out, and she says, I want you to all open them together. And I'm like, okay. So we opened them up, and in mine was this little, of course, I'm not always the sharpest tool in the shed, but I opened mine up, and it had a little jumpsuit. A what? A onesie. It was a onesie. Do they have twosies? But anyway, it was a onesie. So I held it up and I'm like, what in the world? I said, yeah, perfect fit. You know, and it was just right here. And then they opened and they had different clothes for a baby. And then Jaden said, I just want to tell you that I'm pregnant. And our baby's probably due the last of June, first part of July. And it didn't bother her at all. She's all excited. Well, wonderful. Pregnancy's wonderful. But you know, you really ought to have a home. Probably ought to have a husband. You know what I mean? And you know, have a stable environment. But oh no. No, let's just shack up. Let's get pregnant. Now we're just going to enjoy the pregnancy. And everything will work out. Of course, we're not thinking about what it's going to take to support this child and how we're going to raise it. But she was just so proud. And here we sat there like, but see, that's how the world come. Jaden went through high school at Harbor Light. So she's had training. She knows the Bible. You ask her, she knows the Bible. But see, we're not concerned. Sin lies at the door, and it really wants to control us, which it does. But it's okay. But anyway, with my brother-in-law, he never did come to the Lord. And so he dies. And I get to share at his funeral a little bit. Shortly after that, his daughter-in-law blows her brains out because she can't stand to live without her son who was killed. And his son is nothing but an alcoholic. A bad alcoholic. Drunk all the time. And his daughter, she started reading the Bible, which I thought, man, that is great. Sherry and Charlene were down there, and they did a lot of witnessing to her and stuff. And she said, well, she wanted to read her Bible because she had some friends that would talk about the Bible all the time, and she kind of wanted to know what they were talking about. And I don't know where she's at now, but at least a little light is trying to shine through. So God has not blinded her, but he blinded her dad. Folks, do you see what happens? God is wanting to protect us. He's wanting to take us from all of the harm and the things that the enemy is wanting to do to each of us, to destroy our lives. I'm thanking God for my salvation. Man, our marriage before I was saved was on the rocks. I was ready to lose everything. And I didn't know what to do. Maybe at that point I didn't even care. But folks, when that light shined in, I grasped it out of fear. See, I told you before, God will use anything to draw you. Well, he drew me out of fear because I didn't want to go to hell. But then when the light really shined in me, for me, and I accepted it, folks, I jumped at it. And my life has not been the same. And that, like I said, has been 50 years ago. So I kind of share with you that, folks, when that light shined in you, what happened to you? What happened in your heart? Did it change your life? Did you see things so differently that you couldn't turn back? That you just wanted more of God? You were so hungry. Or was it just another day? Well, mine has not just been another day, and my other days have never been the same since. So, folks, there's a difference between those that are blinded by Satan, because that can change. And all it takes is for you to grasp at one point that God's dealing with you. And you kind of meditate just a little bit, and God will honor that. And he'll draw you to that choice. And you're set free. But when God blinds you because you've said, God, I'm really not interested. Yeah, I know all of that, but I'm really not interested, God. I like where I'm at. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Or you believe the lie that once saved, always saved. Well, yeah, I remember back then. But what about now? Well, you know, I'll still go to heaven. I just may not have as big a mansion as you will, but I'm still going to go. And you think that because God's really blinded you, or else the enemy's blinded you. See, God blinds people. They go to church all the time, and they hear the word, and they don't let it touch their lives. They never change. And they do that week after week after week. And everybody that sees them, they think they're all right. But see, they'll ask you to pray for them. And that's good. I'm happy to pray for them. But the Lord said, he says, I blind them so that I can't heal them. I won't heal them because you've rejected me. He says, I'm rejecting you. What little you had, he says, that will even go away. Folks, I'm telling you, we're serious. God's serious. What else can he do? He sent his son. And they tried to kill him from a baby on up. Even when he shared the word. Man, they were taking him. Maybe that's why I always back into my parking spot. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Because it says that the people didn't like what he said and were angry at him. And they took him to throw him off the brow of a hill to kill him. I hope people don't get that angry at me, but folks, do you understand what the Lord is trying to tell us here? Do we understand? This is serious. It's serious. Don't be blind. We need to open our eyes and our ears and our heart and let God do his work in us and through us, folks. Don't be blind. We've got kids growing up and grandkids growing up that don't understand. And when we try to share Adam, they don't like it, do they? Most of them don't. And people can even think that I preach a hard message on drinking. Folks, you just, if the Lord hasn't convicted you on it, that's all your business. But I know what he's convicted me on. But my prayer is that you keep your eyes open. You keep your heart hungry and interested. The Lord says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they're the ones that are filled. And the rest of them go home the way we came. Remember these two verses. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, that they can listen. They can hear. Father, that the word is so important to them. They've made choices, Lord. You know the choices that they've made. They stepped out into the unknown because they knew of where they were was going the wrong way. And so, Lord, you've protected them. You've blessed them. You have grown them. And I thank you, Lord, that they're not afraid of a little hard preaching. So, Father, you've been doing your work in them, and I thank you for it. But for anyone, Lord, that doesn't quite understand, I ask, Lord, that you'd put such a hunger in them that they would seek it out. Father, that everyone in this church would be able to say, Lord, you are my Lord and you're my Savior. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. For your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pronounce a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God bless you, folks. We'll go downstairs.